The project itself is quite broad in scope, and it has two components. First component is to try and flesh out the detail of our understanding of regional depositional history, the history of the lakes, the history of climate change, and we're looking in particular at Lake Mungo and all of the lakes immediately bounding Lake Mungo, Liaga, Dirthong, Arumpo, Chibnall. So the two geologists that I collaborate with, Kat Fitzsimmons and Colin Murray Wallace, that's the focus of their work. My focus is actually on trying to document the history of human settlement. There's an untold story at Mungo. Mungo is famous because of Mungo Lady, Mungo Man, a trail of fossil footprints. And we know surprisingly little about how people actually lived in this landscape over 45,000 years. And that's really what I'm trying to document by looking at the archaeological traces in the Mungo lineage. Our initial grant application was followed a very long hiatus in research in the Willandra Lakes World Heritage Area. So I think there was a certain amount of, and the second grant that followed from that, in a sense, built on those foundations. And I think there was probably a lot of feeling amongst the people who review the grant applications that this is a really important site about which we need to know more. But, you know, with Australian Research Council grants, success rates are less than 20%. So, you know, I think that we were very fortunate to, in fact, get the seed funding for the pilot project and to lay the foundation for long-term research and then to get the second grant.
Mm. How significant is this area in terms of the amount of research that it warrants?
It warrants a great deal more than it has had. What we're doing now, what I'm currently doing, is undertaking the first systematic survey of archaeological traces in the Mungo Lynette, and Darrell Papin, who's the Cultural Heritage Officer on the research project, is monitoring all of the sites that we find. So that kind of finding out what's there and then monitoring what's happening to what's there is something that the elders tell me that they have wanted for a very long period of time. It's the foundation. We can't do... There's a lot that we could do if we already had this information. And I have colleagues who tell me that this is something that should be undertaken by... This aspect of the work should be undertaken, in a sense, by the National Park or the World Heritage Area, that it really isn't the business of researchers. But it does, in fact, require... You know, so over time we will be training people and hope that they will pick this up and carry it on into the future. But there's a certain knowledge and expertise that is required to figure out how to tackle a record on this scale.
How many students do you have?
I currently have about 14 students with me. We also have working on the foot survey from time to time, Mungo National Park Discovery Rangers. Then, of course, there's the Cultural Heritage Officer, Technical Officer, a couple of PhD students. So it's actually a team of about 20. Because that kind of foot survey work is incredibly labour intensive. Once the sites have been located and described, then it's not quite so labour intensive to follow up with site monitoring. But in two field seasons, we covered 1.5 square kilometres of the lunette, and the lunette is in fact 33 kilometres long, up to 2 kilometres wide in places, so we have a very long way to go.
When you say you covered, when you have an image of a stereotypical image of archaeologists, I suppose you imagine people brushing away dinosaur bones or something like that. What does it actually look like when you're at work with your team?
At the moment, what you would see is a series of grid squares marked out on the ground with white painted stakes, effectively a police line walking up and down 50 by 50 metre squares. They have chaining arrows, little red and white painted metal stakes that they put into the ground when they find something. And we come along and I decide, you know, this really is a hearth and we're going to record it this way. It gets a coloured flag. And we then enter into Pump Top Computer's information about the content and the context of each feature and the type of feature it is. We have different data recordings for each of those different types of features. So we have begun without the archaeologist trail in hand, and we have over 1,000 features in our database so far, and we have just started to go back to document information-rich features in more detail. So Ha's associated with, you know, 1,000 animal bones, tiny bone fragments, that kind of thing, scatters of stone tools. We are now documenting them, and we're in discussions with elders about starting to recover those features before Mother Nature takes them away from us.
And these features are all records of human habitation here?
Yes, they're all traces of past human activity, the traces of, in fact, the debris of people's everyday lives, really. Mm-hmm. And from those, we are trying to build a picture of how people made their tools, what kind of tools they had, how they made them, where they got the raw materials from that they made them with, what they ate, what their diet was, how they acquired the foods that went into their diet, how all of those changed over time, how extensive their social networks might have been, and how those changed over time.